Beyond the Flesh by Diana Reed. Read by Greg Wagland. The horizon shrunk away into darkness. Rubber soles squeaked on the shining tiles, each step drowning Simon's nasal passages in disinfectant. He always liked the perfect symmetry of the endless door-lined hallways. Simon counted the steel doors, just as he counted the wooden ones in his old secondary school. The flow of numbers helped calm the people anxiety. He loved numbers, 12 especially. Door 12 belonged to Mr. Harrison, and that was where his talent was first recognized. "I know your heartbeat, sir," Simon replied on that gloomy September day to an unwelcomed question about his home life. Mr. Harrison had looked at the 12-year-old boy before him and laughed. "Do you really? That would be quite a trick to see." Simon hunched over in his seat like a vulture, head tilted to observe a potential carcass. 155 beats per minute. Mr. Harrison snorted, putting two fingers to his wrist and, humouring the boy, looked up to the clock. 60 seconds passed. "My God!" The teacher looked down at the lanky, dark-haired child. "That is exactly spot on. But how?" He trailed off, feeling disconcerted by the unblinking stare of those cold brown eyes. 158 beats per minute. Mr. Harrison's brow furrowed. "It's a good trick, but I'd appreciate it if you stopped it now. We need to discuss why you've been late. 162 beats per minute. Stop it now, please. 167 beats per minute. Are you scared of me, sir? I showed this to a girl I met, and her heartbeat frequency increased too. I asked why, and she said she was scared. She called me a freak and ran off. Do you think I'm a freak, sir?" The man heaved a deep breath. "No," he exhaled. "No, I don't think you're a freak, Simon. But I would like to know how you're doing that."
"I don't know, sir. I look at the neck, and I can see the vein pulsing. I look at the chest, and I can feel the heart's rhythm. I can always see it. I can always see people's insides."
"Well," large hands clapped together, "if you're that good at analysing people's bodies, then I guess you should be a doctor." Simon's tongue skimmed his dry lips.
"Will that let me play with people's insides, sir?"
"You'll certainly be able to go inside and fix the problems people have. Think of the fun you can have healing them."
"Yes, sir."
12 became Simon's lucky number, but he still liked counting the others. They were the second most loved thing in his life. 221, 222, 223. His feet turned down another infinite corridor. 224, 225, 226. A mournful wail echoed in the empty hallways, amplified by the drab concrete exposed underneath cracked plaster. 227, 228. Simon stopped, facing a steel door. This one was different to the rest. This one was his. Even without the counting, the small peg from which hung a white lab coat definitely showed this door to be his. Scarred fingers ran over the coarse material, its colour off-white. Simon had washed it recently, but he supposed it was too old to ever get back the brilliant shine. Just like his lab coats at university. They were always stained, his more so than others. But the tutors never shouted at him. Instead, they called him genius and unrivaled. But he didn't care for those words. And so it didn't bother Simon when those same lecturers called him strange and disturbed.
Those words came when he started to explore his interest by cutting up the practice organs they were told to repair. Simon couldn't help it. He liked the way he could grope the soft, fatty tissue, compressing it between gloved fingers, or the way the slippery muscle felt even more delectable than handling uncooked animal liver, or the way the body part would wriggle and twist through his hands, or the way he could pluck at the sinews like fleshy guitar strings, or the way his finger would slip into the organ, encompassing his digit with bloody, moist pressure. Simon couldn't help it. Just like he couldn't help going through the metal door into a small white room. One wall sported a window. Within was only space enough for a locker, a file cabinet, and a cart trolley overflowing with gleaming instruments. From the trolley, Simon lifted a scalpel with the delicacy of a mother handling a newborn. It was just as precious, kept meticulously cleaned and polished. A standard he maintained from his core surgical training within the NHS. 1 month into his blossoming career, Simon helped operate on a patient for the first time. The operation had been messy and required much assistance, but they pulled through and the patient was stabilized. Everyone involved, and some who weren't, went to celebrate after a hard day's work. But not Simon. Simon stayed behind, looking at the crimson liquid dripping from the plastic wrapping around his fingers. Drip, drip, drip. His tongue darted across dry lips. In the partial darkness of the hospital, he snuck into the patient's private recovery room, scalpel in hand. The man didn't even wake up when the metal slowly sliced open the sewed seams of his skin. Only when the blood started dripping onto the hospital floor did Simon become aware of a nurse's banshee scream behind him. Drip, drip, drip. He worked at squeezing the thin blade between muscle tissue. Each new twist jetted out more blood, like a partially clogged fountain. Thunderous footsteps came behind him. Rough hands threw him away from his craft. Simon didn't understand, as the night duty doctors came to shout in terror and the security guard's hold cut the circulation in his arm, what the fuss was about. He put the patient together, he picked the patient apart. Both required a scalpel, and only one Simon found truly enjoyable. Yet others didn't seem to share in his enjoyment. So, with his unrestricted hand, Simon pulled out a spare scalpel from his coat. It stabbed into the guard holding him. The man reared back in pain, and Simon ran. He ran and ran and ran, only stopping when his lungs screamed for death and his legs burned for oxygen. 172 beats per minute thundered through his skull. He breathed. He calmed. He walked into the dark alleyway plagued with rubbish and rats. Mind coming back to the white room, Simon looked through the long window. On the other side was a much larger space. Shadows sneaking around its corners, forced there by the blindingly bright beam shining down on a half-clothed patient. Simon opened the narrow door by the window and pulled the cart trolley after him with its little wheels squeaking. His gaze focused on the female fastened securely to the chair for her own protection. He liked this patient. She was lucky. Little whimpers came from the patient, who Simon swore to help. The pathetic noises muffled by the duct tape. Those simpering sounds were just like the ones Simon made when he hunched in the grimy streets, hiding away from the flashing blue and red lights. But then, Boss found him, recognizing the notorious face in every recent news report. Boss approached him, saving him. Just like Simon approached the struggling patient now, scalpel held ready. Boss had turned Simon's life around in that dingy back street. Simon supposed it was good manners that he showed the same kindness to the strapped-down female before him. The scalpel slashed across the patient's chest. Blood spilled down the precise incision. There could be no better way of turning a life around than turning it into death. Simon went to take another implement from the trolley behind him. Looking into the shadow-infested darkness, Simon regarded the sealed bags hanging from every part of the wall, the preserved organs within, ready to be taken away by Boss's men. With scalpel in one hand and orthopedic saw in the other, Simon turned to the patient, still struggling weakly. He didn't understand why they did that. Couldn't they see why they were here? Didn't they know their donation would help a lot of people? Then again, Simon only loved human anatomy. Why they did things remained a mystery. The scalpel split the skin further. Simon pried it apart to a cacophony of moist squelching. The orthopedic saw whirled noisily, cutting straight down and through the breastbone. Grasping the smooth, hard ribs, he pulled them back. Crack, crack, crack. The breaking noise lashed the silence. Supple bones rotated on the spine's hinges. Flesh tore open. Her chest gaped, innards exposed. The archways of ribs welcomed the intrusion of Simon's scalpel and its severing of the tendons and valves. Out of the blood-soaked cavern, Simon's hands emerged, grasping the precious heart. It was small, a fluttering butterfly beating its wings at 180 furious beats per minute. Between his fingers, the tiny heart would continue its fibrillation for another 3 minutes. From this gaping female, he needed the scrupulously clean liver and kidneys. Sadly, the heart couldn't be kept alive and useful for more than an hour. Even then, it would require complex machinery not in Simon's possession. As such, Boss was kind enough to let Simon explore his true passion. From underneath the heart, his right hand came up to his lips. His tongue skirted across them, tasting the splash of metallic blood. The tongue extended. Coarse flesh licked his red-stained finger in one long, sensuous stroke. His left hand brought the heart to his face, stained lips against it. Clammy warmth throbbed through them. Simon popped the bulging, undulating muscle between his teeth and bit down. It was tender, rupturing easily in his mouth. He was so lucky to experience the divine explosion bursting past his lips. But that was to be expected. The child patient was his lucky number, 12 years old, after all.